So let's go to our scripture reading here today. Just one little verse. We're going to go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Colossians 2, verse number 8 says this. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray for this message here today. Father, I pray that we will all learn something more, not only about your word, we will all learn something more about what is going on in this thing called the church, that we will learn truth from error, and we will be able to refrain and stay away from error that is happening in the church today. We give you the praise because we know that you will bring truth into our minds today. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, and you may be seated. I've titled this message here this morning, Empty Deceptions. Actually, in the Bible, it's singular, empty deception. I decided to put an S on that because we see empty deceptions today. I'm going to put something up here on the screen, and if you have a pen and a bulletin, I really want you to write this down because I'm going to talk about this. This will kind of be our theme for this morning. What you win them with is what you'll win them to. Remember this line. What you win them with is what you will win them to. Well, what do you mean by that, Mike? Well, I want to explain that to you here this morning. And let me answer that by specifically talking about the church. Although this line could apply to pretty much any type of organization, but we're going to use it as it applies to the church. So what does this mean? What you win them with is what you win them to. There is something that happens or something about a church that has grabbed the attention of a person. And that something, whatever it is, has won them over. It's what keeps them coming back to a church. And whatever you do, church, don't change that. Don't change that something because it's what I have been won to. A prime example, there's many examples I could give. One example is this, would be music in a church. I promise you, there are many, many people who attend a certain church because that church has a praise band, and that praise band really rocks the house. They do. The music, I love the music. It's loud, and they kind of dim the lights a little bit to set the mood in the sanctuary. And they put the words up there on the big screen, and I'll sing whatever those words are because, you know, right now I am really in the groove. I love this band. Couldn't the whole church service just be music? What you win them with, the music, is what you'll win them to, the music. To these people, church is all about the music. And that's about all. Today, we're going to look at a few very bizarre church services and practices. And because they are so bizarre and unusual and different, it is what has won the people over. And forget about anything else that happens in this church service. Just make sure that when I show up, you give me the bizarre. You give me the unusual. You give me the different, because that's why I am here. So why is America going through troubled times? Because of A, what I showed you last week, and B, about what I'm about to show you this morning. I continue to be convinced that God has reached his breaking point with the church. He will no longer tolerate these church antics that we're about to watch, and he's removing his restraining grace. Now, what you are about to see, I would consider empty deceptions, exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And Apostle Paul warns us about these empty deceptions. And they are empty because, I kind of give two little definitions here. They are empty because they contain absolutely no truth whatsoever. None. And they are deceptions because they are principles of the world instead of principles of Christ and his word. And we know this. People love the world. And they are probably saying something like this, the people who attend churches, about what you're about to see. Hey, I can have church and I can have the world at the same time. I can fulfill a religious obligation. I can be holy and pleasing to God, and I can get my ears tickled all at the same time. Well, this morning, I'm going to be showing you 5 short YouTube clips from 5 different church gatherings in America today. Each clip propagates some type of empty deception. And the more we get into the clips, the more bizarre the actions that you'll see will become. After each clip, I will identify what is biblically incorrect with their actions. Although I think you'll be able to figure it out by yourself. I really do. One of the things I want to do by showing you these clips, I want to show you firsthand what church looks like out there in the world. We might only be familiar with Beech Grove Church or our own particular church. I know we have some visitors here today, and your church probably looks similar to Beech Grove Church. That's not what all churches look like out there, folks. Let's start with this first one. This first one is from a church pastored by a gentleman whose name is Andy Stanley. You probably know him. Andy Stanley is Charles Stanley's son. He runs a place called North Point Ministries. I find it rather interesting that if you go to their homepage for North Point Ministries, the first thing they want to do in very large letters is tell you that they have 90 partner churches and they serve 30,000 people weekly. Doesn't the Bible say something about puffing oneself up? 90 partner churches. Let's see what part of their church service looks like.
It's really our time. We see the tide come and watch Saturday night, Twisted Holyfield running. We're about to shock the world, so if we don't have a chance, some dogs about to be back-to-back SEC champs.
UGA and Bama, part 2 in Atlanta.
Okay.
UGA and Bama, part 2 in Atlanta.
Okay. UGA and Bama, round 2. Ram a jammer. Watch the tide drop the hammer like we do. We win Addies and you almost had it. Oh my gosh, nothing cuter than UGA fans' faces after that touchdown from Tua. Remember that touchdown?
Isn't it supposed to be in English?
Call me old-fashioned. But during a church service, which is meant to be God-honoring and God-exalting, what are they doing? They are honoring and cheering for their favorite college football team. Can't we take just 90 minutes or 60 minutes or however long a church service is and exalt the Lord without bringing the world inside of the church? What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Therefore, come out from them and be what? Separate. Be separate, says the Lord. No, because churches now today want to be just like the world. Because that's what they want, to tickle the people's ears. If any of those 30,000 people had any biblical discernment, they would tell Andy Stanley to change his ungodly habits that we just saw here, or they should just say, see you later, Andy. I'll go to a church that honors God instead of the University of Georgia. But what you win them with is what you'll win them to. I guarantee these people show up at churches like this because things like this go on. Clip number two. I don't know who this gentleman is, but he's a preacher of a large church in America. I wish I could find out what his name was. The clip did not say. But I think, again, this clip will kind of speak for itself. Let's watch this one. Like I said, they get more bizarre the more I go on.
We're going to talk today about money.
I had trouble figuring out who in this church would put on a costume like that. I've spoken about money in here several times. And each time that I have, I've spoken and informed you that the New Testament command for giving is simply this: be a cheerful giver. Be a cheerful giver. That's it. But where is this sermon going? Well, I can tell you where it's going because I watched the rest of the clip. I have already said that false teachers do what they do out of greed. Greed for three things: greed for attention, greed for power and authority, and greed for what was the third thing? Money. Money. Greed for money. The song clearly says they are playing the song, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. And that's where this teaching and this sermon is going, to let everybody know they can be rich. Let's satisfy that carnal desire to have money and be rich by placing our faith in our faith. And all the while, I promise you, that preacher is the only one who's cashing in. Okay? He's the only one that's cashing in. So, what does God's word say? 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 3. An overseer, a pastor, a person who's run a church, must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. Free from the love of money. But no, false teachers do it because they love money. That's what they want. And let's put another verse up there, because the Bible tells us a lot about money. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But realize this, that in the last days, which that's now, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. You see that? When these people disguise themselves as people who are godly because they're in front of a church, and oh, they must be. Oh, they went to school and they have this and they have that. They have all this credibility, when all along they're lovers of self and they're lovers of money. And as I went through that whole list, that describes a whole lot what we're seeing in America today now, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. Now, we've got three more clips. Before we watch our final three videos, I need to explain a movement that is going on in the church today. And it's not just America, it's certainly around the world. It is called the New Apostolic Reformation. Write that down. The New Apostolic Reformation, or the NAR. What is it? It's extremely, first of all, let me just say this. It's extremely dangerous, and it's extremely popular, and it should be avoided at all cost. The NAR is found mostly in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, which in 2020, there were approximately 584 million people, associated with charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches. Now, not all Pentecostal and charismatic churches belong to the NAR, but every church that's in the NAR is Pentecostal or charismatic. So what is the direction of their teaching? Because I'm going to show you some videos, but we need to learn this background of this. They claim what they call a five-fold ministry, and they get that from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. Because the scriptures say this, and he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the treasures of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Well, that sounds really good if you read that in context, but just like any other false teacher will do, they take things out of what? Context, right. The three rules for correct biblical interpretation. Rule number one, context. Rule number two, context. Rule number three, context, right. You got it. So they claim a five-fold ministry. And they claim, since the church, I have it underlined, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. They are claiming this. We are not united. We have no unity of the faith. So because we don't have unity, God is restoring all five of these positions. Now, we all know, we see evangelists today. We see pastors today. And number five, we have teachers today in the church. But they say, since there's no unity of the faith, God is now restoring, here in the year 2000 and beyond, the offices of apostle and the office of prophet. So, that's how they get away with it, because they're scripture twisters. So, what does the scripture say about the office of apostle and prophet? Well, we find that in Ephesians 2:19 and 20, and it's very simple. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household, having been built on the foundation of the who and the who? The apostles and the prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation of the church 2,000 years ago was built on the foundation of two things, the apostles and the prophets, both of whom have gone away because the apostolic age is no longer. Let's talk about a foundation. I don't know much about building stuff, but I know this. You build a foundation, it's what's on the bottom, and you build everything up from that. Well, once a foundation is built, we don't need to build another one. The apostles and the prophets were part of what we call the apostolic age. And the apostolic age ended with the death of the apostle John around the year 100 AD. The foundation had been built. The apostles and the prophets, they set the tone. All the books of the Bible had been written. But what could apostles and prophets do? Ooh, here's where it gets interesting. They were given the power to do miraculous gifts. And the miraculous gifts consist of prophecy, to receive new revelations from God, to speak in tongues so we could further the gospel to other lands in other languages, and to perform miracles, which were signs that they were sent by Christ. That was all good back up until the year 100. But today, there's a lot of power, and there's a lot of popularity, and there's a lot of prestige in being able to do the miraculous. So let's start a movement of restoring these three spiritual gifts. Then let's say it is a movement of the Holy Spirit, because we have to put a biblical twist on it. And let's start new churches unlike your grandfather's church. Let's start something called the New Apostolic Reformation. And all this started around the year 2000, in case you might be interested. And it is beginning to be more popular. It's gaining a lot of ground, and it's winning an awful lot of young people. If you're like me, you probably never heard of any of these ladies. And I'm not even going to go through their names. So who are these 13 ladies up here? These 13 ladies are the most popular prophetesses that you will find on YouTube today. If you add up all their subscriptions, YouTube subscriptions, they have 708,662 YouTube subscribers. Every one of these ladies have received a prophetic word from God, and they want to share that prophetic word with you and me. They are all part of this organization called the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. And again, look how many YouTube subscribers they got. And people buy into what these people are saying, because what you win them with is what you'll win them to. I find it amazing that none of these prophetesses, and yes, there's an equal amount of prophets, the male version of these ladies, from the New Apostolic Reformation, and never have any one of them once ever prophesied the onslaught of COVID-19. You would think that if they were truly hearing from God, don't you think God would have at least let some of them know that 2020 would be an extremely dangerous year with a global pandemic? Every prophet and prophetess, they missed it. Why did they miss it? Because, folks, they're not hearing from God. That's why. They're hearing from something else or someone else. But trust me, it's not God they're hearing. Go to any one of their YouTube videos. They all say the same thing. This movement, the New Apostolic Reformation, has taken the miraculous gifts and abused them in an ungodly and a very bizarre level. Let's go to our next video. Again, this one really doesn't need any explanation. Actually, we watched this gentleman last week. Let's watch him again. His name is Benny Hinn. Tell you something I hope you already know. That's not church. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is not a work of God. This isn't the power of the Holy Spirit. This is all fake, and this is all demonic. And all the undiscerning goats in the crowd, they just cheered and cheered and cheered because Benny Hinn is up here doing all this miraculous stuff. Why? Why does he do this? And why are the people there? I'm going to say it again. Because what you win them with is what you win them to. This next video is from a church in Redding, California. The leaders of this church are Bill and Benny and his wife, Benny Johnson. Actually, her name used to be Jenny Johnson, until she got so caught up with Benny Hinn and admired his work so much, she changed her name from Jenny to Benny. That tells you a little bit. They are part of the New Apostolic Reformation, and they have captured the hearts of many young people. It's Bethel Church in Redding, California. They sponsor a band called Jesus Culture, and churches all around the world, and probably, I guarantee, right here in Nelson County, they play their music. The words of their songs are repetitious and boring. I remember having a conversation with Phil Thompson a couple years ago, and he called it 7-Eleven music. And I said, Phil, why is it 7-Eleven music? He said, you take seven words and you repeat them 11 times. The words to their music reflects the theology of the church. And the theology of the church is heretical. Yet, churches every Sunday sing their music. If that isn't so, this church also has a school, the BSSM, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries. Sounds like something out of Harry Potter. What do they do at this school? They will teach you how to prophesy. They will teach you how to speak in tongues. And they will teach you how to perform miracles. And the tuition for learning these things? $5,250 for the years number one and year number two. And it drops to $900 by year number three. It's a three-year course. Presently, they have 1,300 students that have signed up for year number one, and it drops to 650 in year number two. But they teach you how to do these things. And I thought the Bible said that the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as He determines. Ooh, I guess they forgot to read that scripture. This first clip is going to show, within the clip, it's all from Bethel Church, it's going to show three deceptive and evil practices. Unfortunately, once I start the clip, I can't stop it to talk about it. So kind of watch this clip. It's about a minute long, and we'll go back and I'll talk about each, every really evil thing that's happening. Here we go.
Lady, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Okay, the three things that were in there. One was gold dust. In their church service, they had gold dust come down from, they don't know where, but I think it was the ventilation system, telling everybody that the presence of the Holy Spirit has just come upon us in the form of this gold dust. And they all bought into it. The second thing, feathers. Same trick. They have feathers coming down in the sanctuary. What is this? Bill Johnson says, we are being surrounded by angels and they are flapping their wings and feathers are coming off. And all the undiscerning goats buy it. And then the third thing, which I think is the most bizarre, they do a practice called grave soaking. Did you see them near tombstones, lying on tombstones with their heads over tombstones? It's called grave soaking. It's been endorsed by the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries. What you do is this. You find the grave of somebody whose spirit that you want to occupy and take into your spirit. So you put yourself over their gravestone and you wait for their spirit to just become part of you. There's a word for that, folks. It's called necromancy, and it's forbidden by the Word of God. Okay? But yet, you saw all the pictures of the people doing it. Grave soaking. That would be like for us some Sunday morning. Hey, let's all go on up into the Beech Grove Christian Church Cemetery and let's find the gravestone of somebody and just soak over it because we want to get them inside of us. And what they're saying here, folks, is this. They go to the graves of some very powerful, charismatic, and Pentecostal preachers who were very instrumental in starting all of this bizarre stuff. Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Finney, they find their gravestones because they want to be just like them. Folks, that's dangerous. Don't go there. We'll end with one more. This is a lady named Stacy Campbell. You know those Campbells, don't you? Everett, they're no kin to you. Okay. You're good. Stacy Campbell. Let's see what Stacy Campbell is famous for, and this will be our final video.
Come on up, Stace.
You notice how many people in the crowd? She is a prophetess.
The generation behind us.
First of all, what she says is very generic. Anybody could make up that stuff. There's nothing prophetic about what she says. She may be in the Spirit, but trust me, it's not the Holy Spirit. It is a demonic spirit. Let me share something with you. Here's a new word in your vocabulary. Write this down and go look it up. Kundalini. What is Kundalini? In Hinduism, Kundalini is a serpent-like energy that supposedly rests in 3 1/2 coils at the base of the human spine. When a person performs the proper spiritual techniques, this spirit is stretched throughout the body in an awakening. This supposedly results in dramatic occurrences, including out-of-body experiences, physical movements and sensations, hallucinations, and so forth. Folks, she doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That woman has a Kundalini spirit, and it's evil, and it should be avoided at all costs. How many people have we seen on Christian TV who are doing this kind of nonsense? Empty deceptions, itching ears, and false teachers. They find each other. How and why? Because what you win them with is what you win them to. They will never, ever like a church like Beech Grove Church. Because to them, we're too boring. There's nothing exciting in here that would ever hold their interest. Come on, bring out the snakes. Bring out the lady who shakes her head. Bring out the guy who pushes people over. Bring out all these occult practices. Maybe you could drag a few tombstones in here and we could soak over them. Because that's what they want. And you wonder why America is going in the direction that we are going. 584 million people subscribe to the Pentecostal and Charismatic Church. Again, not all of them get into stuff like this. There are some good ones out there. Yes, there are. But the odds are most of them love this stuff because they don't like Grandpa's church anymore. The church has failed to be the church, and God is judging us. He is allowing the fake church to go its own way. Today and last Sunday, I showed you video clips of why that is so. Not why I believe it is so, why it is so. The church has tragically fallen into empty deceptions that the Apostle Paul has warned us about 2,000 years ago. Well, there's a whole lot more that I could say about all this, but today we put it to rest. I could talk about denominations that can't even recognize what a sin is anymore. I can talk about denominations and churches and pastors that are more concerned about social issues than they are the gospel. And that list goes on and on and on. But today, we put this to rest. Next week, we're going to continue on this journey of Christianity in troubled times. And I'm going to start talking next week a little bit about, are we in end times? Yes? No? Let's see what the Bible says about those things. Let's look at the signs. Let's look what the Bible says. Let's see if we can put two and two together. And how should we respond to what's going on out in our world? We'll go there next Sunday. No more videos, I promise. Let's have a word of prayer.